Well, the word's good. You excited for the word? Amen. 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 I'm pumped for this. You know, we've been on our Wednesday nights before we had take a little time off there. We were talking about prayer and emphasizing different things that the Holy Ghost was helping us with prayer. And it's been a great blessing. And we're going to continue in that same vein of prayer. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Sure is an honor to be here with you all tonight. Praise God. Don't take this for granted. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Father, we're here for a purpose, and that's to go higher with you, to get more from you. Father, we're also here to worship you, and we've done that, and we still have a worshipful attitude, and by faith, we're hungry for the word tonight, Father. We know it's the feeding of the word that causes us to grow and the consuming of that, Father. And so say what needs to be said, do what needs to be done here tonight. Father, may my words be spoken with boldness, with utterance, and as the oracles of God. Father, I know that we come to church a lot. We're faithful. We love church, and it can seem mundane and repetitive, but it's anything but that. This is the word, and anytime the word went forth in the Bible, it was always laced with opportunity. It was always laced with advancement and growth and power. And so, Father, we recognize that tonight. And we are on the edge of our spiritual seats, ready to receive what you have for us. We thank you for change tonight. We thank you for helping us go and get to where we need to be. And we'll give you all the glory for that, Father. We can't do this without you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in Ephesians 2, in verse 10, it says this. I'm going to read it first in the King James, and then we're going to look at it in the Amplified. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them." And I love what the Amplified translation, of course, it does exactly what that translation says, is it amplifies it. And so in the Amplified, thank you for putting that up there, it says, "We are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them." Why? What happens if you walk in them? You'll live the good life with which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Notice that verse that says prearranged and made ready to live what? The good life. He's already put the prearrangements, set it up for you to live the good life, but the good life is found in what's already also prearranged, and that's the plan. Taking, go back to the bigger, the longer part of that slide, if you would, the slide before that. Thank you. Where it says, God predestined, planned beforehand, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time. So He prepared the paths ahead of time, but inside the paths that He prepared is the good life. What is the good life? It's everything we need. It's the blessings. It's the favor. It's the money. It's the health. It's the joy. It's the peace. It's the protection. It's everything. And so living the good life, walking in the good life, enjoying God's abundant life, the Zoe life, the heaven on earth life, is not disconnected from His plan. It's all wrapped up in the plan. And so if we were to say that I want to walk in that good life, that prearranged thing that God prepared, then I need to get onto His plan and His path for me that He's prepared. Amen? Because He already prearranged it. He already did it. And He's not taking it back. You know, Jeremiah, we don't need to turn there. What does Jeremiah 29:11 say? "For I know the thoughts," or the plans, "that I, God, personally have for you personally." And what is that plan? It's already prearranged. God already, in His perfection of wisdom and mercy and love, already knew you, knew your life, and He already spoke specifically set out a plan and a path for you, that in that all the arrangements were made for the good life. And so he's already got a destination. He's saying, you get onto this, and then you'll experience this, right? He's not rearranging now or changing the plan. It is our job, and here's the good news, because I know the thoughts go, well, I missed it for years, I went outside. God is a now God. His mercies are new every morning, and God, we can pick up, we can repent, and God can get us onto that path now, right? Make some tweaks, make some adjustments, get on that, and then start living that good life. So don't ever, ever even start to contemplate or accept the thoughts that it's too late for you, that you've gone too far and that you've messed up too bad. That's just a lie from the pit of hell. Amen. And so it's ready for you. It's a blessing, but we need to get and be on that plan, because the blessings found that plan. But this is what I found, that the plan is a spiritual thing. And what do I mean by that? Because it's ordained by God. It manifests in the natural, and you walk it out in the natural. But the plan is a spiritual thing. And what did we learn? It would have been last week on Sunday morning about feelings, that the Bible says that our feelings are at war with spiritual things. And so what I found in my own life, and maybe found in your own life, that some of the things that are revealed in the plans and purposes of God might not jive so well with how you feel, what you think, or what maybe naturally you would want, right? I mean, a good one to look at, because the word is part of the plan. The doing of the word is part of the plan. And just look at the doing of the word with money. Now, if your mind's renewed to it and you do it and you've seen the blessings, tithing is no longer a difficult thing to my flesh. Giving is a joyous thing. My mind's renewed to it. I know it's investment time. In fact, I've said before, sometimes I'm tempted to feel selfish in giving because I know how good it works. So like if I'm thinking of sowing into a certain minister or the church or a plan of God or good ground or, you know, someone that's in a place of need and you know that's good ground, like I, because the word's so in there and renewed to that, you know, truth, I'm almost like thinking, am I just doing this because of the return I'm going to get? You know, it's almost selfish, but my point is when you first started doing that, it might not have been that way. Where the flesh was not like, I don't want that to be a part of the plan. That can't be a part of the plan for my money, you know, and different things and stuff like that. So the plan is spiritual, and sometimes we don't necessarily want to do what the plan is, but the plan is where the blessing is. And remember, the plan is the doing of the word, but the plan is also specific things that God has spoken to you about your life and what how you're supposed to walk out your life and carry out your life. Go with me to Isaiah 1 and verse 19. A very familiar portion of scripture. And you said we're talking about prayer. Well, we're going to get to praying about the prayer in a second here. Isaiah 1 and verse 19. The end of this verse is talking about the prearranged good life. It says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. The good of the land is what? The arrangements that God put in there for you to live the good life. The good of the land is not a life of fear. The good of the land is not a life of poverty and lack. The good of the land is not a life of sickness and disease and depression and fear and worry and anxiety and you know, things coming against you and your family and your children. The good life is the abundant Zoe life that Jesus came to give us. But notice that it's laced with qualifications. That you have to qualify for the good of the land. And this verse tells us that the qualifications for the good of the land are willingness and obedience, right? And to even become obedient, you have to be willing first. But what are we talking about? Well, we are talking about the doing of the word, because the doing of the word is found in the plan. You can't get into God's plan without the doing of the word. But we're also talking about other things and the walking that out, what you're called to do, what God's put on your heart, what God has for you, the surrendering, you know, that song, I Surrender All. We're going to see tonight, there's a power, there's a blessing in surrender. See, the world looks at surrender as a position of weakness. And in the world, naturally, when you're surrendering to something that's dominant over you. Like you think about a robbery. If they have a gun, they're saying, stick them up. And you're surrendering, you are in the weaker position. But spiritually, with God, surrendering is the power play. It's the power play. And to get the good of the land, you have to be willing and obedient. But here's the thing. The doing of the word is attached to the good of the land. The doing of whatever God's put on our own personal hearts and things that we might have to do and have to carry out and walk out, people we have to minister to, things we need to do with the church that God's laid in our heart, plans that he has for us outside of here, things with our money, things, all of that stuff, there might be a battle. There might be a war, amen? There might be a struggle there. And part of it is because the plan is spiritual and our flesh doesn't like some of these things. But the good of the land is the goal. Amen? The good of the land is the goal. We have yet to fully realize all the things that God has in store for us. But notice this, that if we are not willing in anything and not obedient, there is a portion of the pie chart of the good of the land that you'll never be able to walk into. Amen? Amen? I don't know what that is. Maybe that's forgiving somebody. Maybe that's, you know, you're at work and people are around the water cooler, they talk a certain way and God's been dealing with you. You ought not to represent me that way. Maybe that's what you're unwilling to give. I'm unwilling to give that up. I'm unwilling to change in my finances. I'm unwilling to be obedient financially. I'm unwilling to do what I need to do with my kids. I don't know what it is. I'm unwilling to step up in this part of ministry. God's been dealing with me to serve in the nursery, or God's been dealing with me to tell pastor I'll serve, but I'm just not willing. Anything you're not willing and obedient to do, you will lose out on the good of the land, and that's not what we want. Amen? There's power in surrender, and so it starts somewhere. And to start to be a person that is, okay, I'm on board. Whatever you say, Father, whatever you put on my heart, I'm going to do it. I know there's blessings attached to that. It starts somewhere, and we're going to go to Luke 22 and verse 39. Luke 22 and verse 39, and this is where we're going to look at a specific aspect of prayer. Luke 22 and verse 39. This is Jesus the night that he was arrested and taken captive. Before that, of course, they found him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it says in verse 39, as he came out, he went as he was to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at that place, he said to them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And you could camp out there for a while just on that verse. But I need to get going for what Holy Ghost has for us tonight. He says, he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. He kneeled down and he prayed. Now, Jesus coming to the earth, first of all, was naturally a step backwards. He was enjoying the pleasures of heaven, and he became a little vulnerable baby boy, right, who would dribble and drool and wet himself and mess him. I mean, that's the King of Kings, humbled himself to that position, vulnerable, needing to be taken care of, things like that, walking out as a natural man. And his journey through life, which ended at the cross was the plan, right? The cross was wrapped up in the plan. And in the plan, what do we find in Ephesians 2:10? The good life, good things, exaltation, promotion. Well, but also we've talked about that the plan at times clashes with our flesh and our minds. You know, some of you have told me even that have been called to go to MTC, the Ministry Training Center. That's, you know, you feel a call in there, and it hasn't been easy. It's been hard on the flesh, but that's part of the plan that God has for you. And you see even in that situation that in that plan, in that purpose, your flesh and your mind might not have liked that so much. But why do you do it? Because it's part of the plan. And if God's talking to other people that, you know what, I need to inquire about that, but I don't want to have to get up my Sunday nights. This is not an MTC promotional video here. I'm just saying, it just came up in my heart that some of the things you said to me, it's not been easy, but it was on your heart to do it. What's that mean? It's part of the plan. That means you fulfilling that will lead to more good life for you. You have to understand that. If God put it on your heart, something to do, and you do it, willing and obedient leads to the good of the land. There's something for you. Don't let the devil mess you up in your mind and think, what am I doing this for? It's not worth anything. You might not see payday today, but God is faithful. And in the plan that God had for Jesus' life, we see it manifested here or demonstrated what the flesh and the mind thought about this plan. And I love that Jesus was in all points tempted as we were. He did not walk into the garden, walk into the cross, macho man. Cross has nothing on me. I'm not afraid of nails. I'm not worried about being separated from my Father. No, that's not what we see here. But we see a prayer being prayed in verse 42. Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. What's Jesus saying? I don't want to go to MTC. I don't want to do this in ministry. I don't want to serve in nursery. Pastor mentioned we need help in the overhead, help in the nursery, and that came up in my heart. You could do that, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to give my tithe. I don't want to give my offering. That's what he's saying. I don't want to do the plan. Would you have wanted to do the plan? No. I mean, my goodness, we struggle sometimes wanting to come to church when it's cold out and or we're tired. And that's part of the plan, coming to church. We struggle with that. Imagine that plan. And we see that Jesus, when he laid aside his deity to become a man, the flesh was coming out here. Now, thank God he didn't sin, because this prayer, Father, nevertheless, he said, if you can't take it away, if it's part of the plan, if that's your plan, you're not changing. Not my will, but your will be done. So what we're talking about here tonight is the prayer of consecration and commitment. The prayer of consecration and commitment. This is the beginning to the fullness of the good of the land in your life. Because if you are going to pursue God and go higher with God, God has purposes and plans for you that are undoubtedly, I can say from experience, and you all can say from your own experience, you're going to come across things in the Word. And you're going to come across things that he puts on your heart or lays on you that you have to do, that's part of the plan, that you're not going to like. That is not going to be easy. That is not going to be, you know, just a walk in the park, tiptoeing through the tulips there, where your flesh, it hurts, right? Your mind is fighting it, but the good of the land is at stake. Hallelujah. And, this prayer of consecration and commitment, what was Jesus saying? I don't want to do this. I don't like this. My flesh doesn't like this. My mind doesn't like this. It's not an easy thing to do. But because it's part of your plan, and I know your plan is where the fullness is at, I will do it. Now, we'll look in a little bit about what this did for Jesus himself. But this prayer changed the world forever. It changed the world forever, how it gave the whole world an opportunity to know God, to go to heaven. And I'll tell you that this prayer, and that's what we're talking about tonight, is this prayer. This prayer is the beginning to Pastor Mike's life changing. Now, I got saved, but when I got saved in 2002, in January, I was still on Mike Anderson's program. I didn't want to really seek God, and most of you know the story. I didn't want to really get to know him too. I wanted all the benefits of Savior without having to make him Lord. You know, it's Lord and Savior, you know. He's not just a fireman. Amen. You know, there's more to it, you know. And I didn't want to dive in, you know, financially. Tithing is when you're naturally poor, tithing seems ridiculous. Seems like the worst thing you could do, right? When you're on your own program in life, becoming faithful to show up and wake up on a Sunday morning, or back then it was for me, stop my day on Saturday nights and go to BCF, Bible Christian Fellowship. That seemed ridiculous to my flesh, right? And then I was struggling with a thing, and I'll tell you, I got saved. And what's amazing is you can be a child of God, and heaven will be yours. But if you don't do the word and surrender and consecrate, heaven on earth certainly won't be. There are many Christians who are born again, children of God, and you know, and when Christians don't live in the fullness, it's not his fault. My kids, as they're getting older, are starting to learn that, wow, I got a pretty cool dad. And he does a lot of fun things with us and really blesses us, and because of him, we do things we never get to do on our own. And isn't that true? Is that true, Abby? Yeah, you got a good dad, right? And but my kids are also learning that if they don't comply, right? If they don't stay willing and most importantly obedient, I don't give a rip if they're willing, just be obedient. You know, willingness, I don't, you know, in their obedience, the willingness has to come forth, which would be what? A good attitude, right? Things like that. So don't misunderstand me, but I'm just saying, to me, it's like, let's just cut to the obedience. You're going to listen. But they're learning that things go south for them really fast when they step out of what I've offered them. Listen, the plan is blessing. It's keeping your room clean. In the plan, you can't mouth off. You can't stomp and slam doors. What's in the plan and the blessing? The blessing's in the plan, but in the plan is also what? You're going to vacuum when we say vacuum. You're going to do this when we say this. And when you don't, you've stepped outside the plan. I didn't step outside the plan. And when those blessings and rewards and things that come from staying within the plan stop, that's not dad's fault. And it's the same for us, that when we step outside or say, you know what, I don't want that part of the plan, and it cuts the blessings off, that is not the Father's fault. There are many people living as children of God who have been given this opportunity. And I've seen it in my kids. One does, one doesn't. Same family, same home, right? Not dad's fault when one's not and one is. You know, I won't say who. I'll leave it for you to guess who I'm talking about. I heard a story on the way home from church that one got to go in the store and buy something and one didn't. Again, you decide who we're talking about here. And not because there was a favorite child and favoritism being played. One complied, one didn't comply. The blessings for compliance were available to both. Amen. And I know many Christians that are born again, they love the Lord, and their life is nothing but a picture of hell on earth. Well, it's not always, you know, just because they're not consecrated, but there's a lot of that. How do I know? I went through that. For months and months, I heard about abundant life and the blessings, and my life kept getting worse. I couldn't figure it out. What in the world is going on? Why is my friend who led me to the Lord blessed, and people in the church are blessed, and my pastor's blessed, and he's talking about all the blessings, and months and months and months and months are going, and I'm not seeing a change. I know I'm saved, I'm thankful for heaven, but my life's still hell on earth. And I remember I was driving one day, and Isaiah 1:19 came up in my spirit, and I didn't know what it was, looked it up. Willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. And I knew that I wasn't eating the good of the land because I didn't qualify for the good of the land. I was not willing and obedient. Well, what was I willing and obedient? Surrender. Now, what he was personally talking to me about was surrendering to his plan, to being willing to do whatever he wants me to do. Which, if you're going to be a minister, you got to surrender, because who knows what direction he wants you to go, what he wants you to say at times, or who he wants you to talk to and minister to. And the thing that was really, I was holding back from God, and it's kind of funny to talk about now, but I was convinced that as soon as I sold out to him, he was going to send me to the mission field, to China or Africa. And you are looking at the all-time greatest homebody there is. I don't like change, don't like to go outside. I mean, I thought I liked Canada until the barbecue sauce from McDonald's tasted nothing like our barbecue sauce, and I dipped the chicken nuggets in the barbecue sauce and realized I want America. Bring me back to America. I was there for a Dr. Dufresne conference, so this is not the same. Praise the Lord. I don't like change is what I'm saying. Hallelujah. I don't like change. I like things to stay the same. And so I thought, he's going to send me to China or Africa. That's the last place I want to go. I don't even like to go to Canada. I don't even like to leave my bedroom. And I was just not surrendering. And by not surrendering, I wasn't hearing his voice. And so I just battled with this for days. And then, you know, you get to a point when you're broke and sick and depressed and worried and anxious and fearful where you get so sick and tired of being sick and tired. I got sick and tired of hearing about all the blessings and not receiving them. And this was no attack. This was stupidity. Boy, the devil gets blamed for a lot of things. A lot of times we're in our own way. Well, I was in my own way. Devil wasn't. Of course, he wanted me held down. I'm not saying he wasn't behind some things, but I just wasn't willing and obedient. And I remember being on the way to the general store in Falconer, right outside the outskirts of Falconer, and it's a convenience store there. And it's my first job as a Christian that I actually was faithful to and stayed there and didn't pull any. I remember I broke my big toe playing some stupid soccer game with my friend. I kicked my foot right into the ground. I could hardly walk. And I remember calling in to work. I can't stand. I said, I'll be willing to sit. But by job duties, I had to move around. And I remember feeling like, oh, my gosh, I'm actually calling in to work, and I'm not lying. This is incredible. It's a true story. I really did. I was like, do you want to see my toe? Because I just figured everyone thought I was lying, even though they didn't know me. And I'm sick of being broke. I'm sick of struggling putting gas in my truck. I'm sick of driving a truck that's falling apart, throw snowballs through it, true story. So rusted I could throw a snowball through one side, go out the other side. Sick of being sick of being broke, sick of all these things, and I'm hearing about abundant life. And I've been in church now for months and months now. And finally, I just threw my hands up on the steering wheel, and I was mad at God, you know, and I yelled at him. Like, that does anything to him. He's like, ooh, Mike's mad at me. Watch out. And I said, fine, I'll go to China or Africa. It's got to be better than this. And I said that to him, and I meant it with all my heart. It wasn't just going through. You know when you mean it, right? Yeah. Hallelujah. You know when you mean it. And I meant it. I'll go. I'll do whatever you want, anything you want. Well, he's been trying to get me to surrender. Well, it was like the next service or the service after, one long after that, during the salvation call at the old building there on Lakeview Avenue in Fredonia, Pastor Michael's giving the salvation call, and like he does every time, tells people to bow their heads and close their eyes. And here I am. And remember, I'm coming off 26 jobs in 2 years, getting kicked out of the Marine Corps because I'm crazy in my brain, and 4 or 5 different colleges in that short of a time. I am don't know what to do with my life. I'm lost. You know, and I'm in service and heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And he's talking a salvation call, you know, telling you about the plan of salvation. And I hear as loud as day, go to Rhema. I hear the words audibly. Now, I don't know if, well, I know nobody else could hear him because nobody else, he didn't break stride in his prayer and nobody looked up and looked around. So whether or not I naturally heard that with my own ears or spiritually it was discerned, I don't know, but I heard a loud voice say, go to Rhema. And I thought somebody just shouted out in the room. And my head popped up. And I'm looking around, and Pastor Michael's just up here pacing like he does back and forth sideways. And he's not looking out in the crowd at someone that interrupted him with go to Rhema. Listen, if I'm giving a salvation call and someone yells go to Rhema, it's going to stop me to look out. And everybody else has got their heads bowed and eyes are closed. And the hair is just sticking up on my arms. And I know, oh my gosh, I just heard from heaven. Well, that word, go to Rhema, got me what? Onto God's plan to start living the good life which he prearranged me ready for. But how did it come? It came through surrender, through the prayer, the angry prayer, of prayer and consecration and commitment. With what? I consecrate my life to you and I commit to your ways. And it was the start, amen? What is being held back in your life because you're not willing and not obedient? Because you've not consecrated your life to him. You're still kicking against certain things. See, we can't know how good it is on the other side until we get there, because God's the God of Ephesians 3:20. He does things that blow our minds. But he does things in context of obedience and following his plan and surrendering to him. Amen? So what is it in the Word? I'll just be practical here. What is it in the Word that you keep hearing me talk about? Forgiveness, money, being faithful to come to church, serving in the church, and you've pumped the brakes. Don't talk to me about that. You don't know what you're missing. What has he told you to do in your life, or told you to stop doing, or told you to who to minister to, or what plan he has for you that you're just you're missing out? I want to help us tonight with the little time we have left on the prayer of consecration and commitment. Amen? And what you need to know about this prayer, the prayer of faith is prayed once. I believe you pray the prayer of consecration every single day. Why? Because every single day your flesh is going to be loud to keep you. What does that mean? You just wake up with a purpose. Father, I'm going your way today. I'm going your way, your direction today. And so it's not just the big things. Go to Rhema and, you know, serve in nursery. It's the little things that he's talking to you about. And every day we have a choice, right? Every day we have a choice to be spiritual, and go his way or to go our way. So I want to help us get there. Go to Romans 12 and verse 1. I'm just going to look at a few things here. You know, I do want to say this. This was the angle the Holy Ghost had me to present this message, but we ought to be so in love with God that if there was no blessing attached to the obedience, I would tithe without the rest of Malachi 3 and verse 10. I would. If he said, bring all the tithes to the storehouse, Father said it, right? If Luke 6:38 just said give, and period, and then verse 39, I would give, because that's what my Father wants. And so I believe we're a church full of people that love him so much that we would just do it because we love him and he gave us eternal life. I mean, that's enough, isn't it? Yeah. Holy cow. I mean, sometimes I feel like that spoiled, rotten kid. You know, there's time, I'll tell you, the two words that my kids know are fighting words in our home: I'm bored. Oh. You should see the show your pastor puts on when he hears those words. With the amount of things to do and stuff that they have in their life, but I feel like that's what we become as Christians. Not bored, but in the sense like, because they're basically complaining about, when they say they're bored, they're basically complaining, I don't have enough stuff. And it's like, have we belittled salvation so much that we can grumble that we're not driving what we'd want to drive, or someone, or living what, or wearing what? You know what I mean? Like, be content. Now, it doesn't mean don't reach for more, but you don't lose your contentment in the reaching. Be content with such things that you have. What do I have? Eternal stinking life. If that was all that came with the deal, then we are the most blessed people on planet Earth. If that was it, glory to God. But there's more, praise God. But I believe that we're a church that loves him so much that if there was no good life, abundant life, we would do it because he loved us and gave us eternal life. That's enough. Heart stuff, right? So how to help us get to that prayer of consecration and commitment? Because the cross doesn't happen without the garden. Me being up here does not happen without that prayer in that truck that day, because that's when everything started to open up and the opportunities came, right? So number one, to help us get to that place, to pray that prayer and mean that prayer, because once you pray, see, we casually sing, I surrender all. Are we liars when we're singing that? I don't know if you are or not, but if he's got it on your heart to serve a nurse and you're saying, no, you are a liar. I surrender all. No, you don't. I surrender all. Don't talk to me about my wallet. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Hang your butt on a telephone wire. That's what they say. Right? Don't I surrender all me? Come on. He's talking to you about certain things in your heart. No. During that part, you got to be like, just hum it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Everyone's going to be looking around at everyone during and find out who's got their lips closed. At least they don't want to be a liar. Amen. But that's the surrender is where it starts. Number one is found in Romans chapter 12, actually verse 2. We need to renew our mind to some word realities. What do I mean by that? It says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As a man thinketh, so is he, the Bible says. And look at this. When the mind's renewed, it says, then you can prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That perfect will of God where all the blessings, the prearranged, it's not found without the renewing of your mind. And you'll never get to a place of consecrating and committing to God with things where your flesh is running wild and your mind's running wild if you don't start with this prayer. And this prayer will never happen without the renewing of the mind. And I want to show you some things to renew your mind to. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. Remember, the good of the land's at stake. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse... Man, the enemies of faith were so much more fun to preach, you know, just faith messages. But 1 Corinthians 6, 19 says, what? Know ye not that your body, which your life, is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And look at the last statement. It says, now this is God saying to people that are Christians. Now remember, it's a good deal you got. So don't think, oh, I'd rather trade that in. I'd rather be my own. No, you wouldn't. Talk to yourself at the moment of death and how glad you are that you surrendered and gave your heart to Jesus. And of course, we know all the blessings that come in. And see, we'll just get there. I need to slow down. I'm getting ahead of myself. But notice the last statement. You are not your own. The prayer of consecration commitment to anything that God would have for us is so much easier when your mind is renewed to the fact that you are not your own. And you say, I don't know. Well, our minds, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I go into somebody else's home, you know, maybe not my in-laws. I mean, I'm respectful, don't misunderstand me, but it's a relaxed environment in my own home. It's a relaxed environment in my in-laws. You know, just get in there and kick up my feet, you know, put my feet up on their couch, put my feet up on their coffee table, whatever, just go into the refrigerator. You know, it's a relaxed environment. Well, I don't act that way when I go into a stranger's home. I don't act that way if I were to come into your house. Well, like when your own stuff, you have a revelation, this is mine. I do and act with it how I want to. If there's a coffee table there and I want to put my feet up on my coffee table, so be it, right? If I want to walk through my house with my shoes on in my home, so be it, right? If I want to go into the refrigerator and, you know, whatever and get whatever in the cupboards, I can do that. If I want to leave the toilet seat up, my house, I do what I want to do, right? There's that revelation of what's yours. And you can do whatever you want. But if you go into my house, I guarantee you don't act as relaxed in my house as you do in your own house. There's no way I'm going to your coffee table and kicking my feet up. There's no way I'm walking with my shoes through your house. There's no way I'm even putting my feet up on your furniture. There's no way I'm walking to your refrigerator. Why? It's yours. So I don't just do with it whatever I want. And he's telling us here, whether we are living out of this reality or not, I want you to know, you are not your own. And so when you do your own thing, it's as if you are coming into my house, walking through my house with your shoes on, going into my refrigerator, kicking your feet up, doing whatever you want to do. It's a violation. And when you live however you want to and do whatever you want to, you are violating what's not yours. You're acting like a thief. A thief is a violator. They walk in and put their hands where they want. They walk in and put their feet wherever they want because they're thieves. Hallelujah. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Again, what are we trying to get to? The good of the land. We're not trying to put a yoke of bondage around your neck, because we're going to see at the end, there's power in surrender. Amen. You're learning that, Julie, aren't you? She don't want to preach. It's too bad. I've heard her sad song. But she's surrendering to it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why? That's God's plan. It's God's purpose. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I know some of you, because you've told me, don't want to be in children's church, don't want to be in nursery, but you do it. Why? It's part of the plan. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this. Look at Paul said. This is a man with power in his life. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He's talking about spiritually being crucified with Christ, that I might live unto God. See, naturally, I still live, that I can live unto God. My purpose for me still being here is to live unto God. He said that in the verse before. I live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live, which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Look what he's saying. I am crucified with Christ. He said, I, personally, I am crucified, and my purpose now is to live for Jesus and live for God. I heard my pastor say this one time concerning this verse, and I wrote this in a prior Bible. I update my Bibles all the time when my pages get a certain way. I put it on the shelf and get a new one, but I put next to that verse, a dead man has no wishes. You know what we need to become like? Bernie. Weekend at Bernie's. I'm not suggesting you watch that movie. In fact, I've never seen the movie. I don't know if it's good or bad. Bad words, things you shouldn't say. I don't know. But I know the premise behind it is a man that is dead, that they dress up, cart around, put in a chair, put in certain positions, and make him look like he's alive. We need to become Bernie to God. What's a dead man do? Whatever you do with him. With the dead man's hands on the table, put the hands on the table. With the dead man to wear a hat, put a hat on the dead man. Dead man has no wishes. We need to become Bernies. Father, what do you want from me? I want you to do nursery. Okay. I want you to go to China or Africa. I would have been like, okay, the dead man has no wishes. I'm not my own. Have I perfected this? No. Neither of you, so we're in the same boat. But there's a good of the land waiting for us in that surrender. Number two, go to the book of Jonah. I'm not even going to try to find it. I'm just going to look it up on my phone. Such a small book, it's hard to find, you know. Jonah, chapter 1 and verse 1. Wow, some pastor I am, right? At least I'm real. Trying to fake you up here. And Jonah chapter 1. Number 2. So number 1, how are we going to get their help? We got to renew our mind to something. Renew our mind to what? We're not our own. Number 2, there is fallout. Consequences for not going God's way. For not surrendering. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. We know the story, but let's look at it. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for the wickedness has come up before me. So in Jonah's life, we see a prearranged plan or path. And his path is what? Get on the path to Nineveh. Well, we see that that did not jive with Jonah's mind and did not jive with Jonah's flesh. But we also know the word, God has plans for us, and in that plan is the prearranged good life. But we also need to know that when we don't do the word, which is part of the plan, and when we don't follow what God is speaking to us, or those promptings by the Holy Ghost, and we ignore those, there will be fallout and consequences. In Jonah chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, but Jonah rose up. See, Jonah didn't have a revelation that obeying God is not optional. rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. He found a ship to go to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof and went down to it. And went unto them from the presence of the Lord. Now, we know the fallout of this. Jonah became fish food, didn't he? And just in a demise and in a dark and in a lonely, hopeless, discouraging place, Jonah experienced the fallout of what? Not consecrating and committing to God. See, when you hear about tithing, you have to get over the consecration and commitment first. When you hear about being faithful to come to church and you got your whole life planned out on Sunday and you're busy, you know how many people tell me their life is too busy? If your life's too busy to come to church, that's your problem. You have to make an adjustment, and I know your flesh and your mind don't want to. It's the prayer of consecration and commitment. MTC, for a lot of you, you had to get over that flesh, that mind of, I don't want to do that at the time, and I don't like school, all the stuff that came with it. You had to get over that to fulfill the plan. Preaching, you got to get over that nervousness and got to get over that feeling of don't want to be in front of people. If that's what God wants you to do, you surrender to it. Okay, well, we need nursery workers. Okay, well, that's something on my heart I know I could do. I'm not really super excited about hanging out with kids. I don't really like doing that, but you got to get over that. Come on now. Praise God. And anytime there's disobedience, there's fallout. Why? Because disobedience is sin. We think of sin as habits we do, and they are. And we think of sin as immoral living, and it is. But any sin is just qualified by not doing what God said to do. And just so you know, if God says do nursery, God says preach, God says go to MTC, God says go to Rhema, God says have a Wednesday service, God says do this or that, and you don't, that's sin. And the wages of that is death. That's the fallout. And Jonah experienced the fallout. You know, I remember this also, I talk about following the Holy Ghost, which same thing, Word of God, and surrendering. I had got it in my mind, and she was part of this too, that we wanted two dogs at one time. And I would justify it with like my yellow lab Wrigley, you know, with preaching and the church and stuff, we're away a lot, and Wrigley needs a friend. When in fact, Wrigley didn't want any other dogs around. She just wanted to do her thing and be by herself, but I wanted two dogs. I wanted to have the experience, and nothing wrong with having two, three, five, six dogs, unless God says no. You know, someone asked me the question the other day, and this is, I'll get back to this. Remind me of telling you about the dog story. Someone asked me the question of the day, what's too much? What's too excessive when it comes to buying things and believing God for things? Because we don't want to be greedy, and we don't want to get into excess, but we also know that our God is a God of abundance. You don't believe me? Go look what he did with Job. The Bible said Job was the richest man in all the East. He lost everything, and so now he has nothing. And the only thing he's going to get back is what comes from the merciful, generous hands of God. God didn't bring him back to 10% of the richest man ever, 50%. He didn't bring him back to where he was. God doubled the man. God is not against abundance. God is against abundance having you when it controls you. But we know God is not against abundance. But someone asked me, what is too much? Well, I'll tell you what's too much. Too much is when your heart tells you no. That's when it's excessive. When the Spirit of God says, no, that's not for you right now, or no, that's not something that would be good for you, that's when it's too much. Amen? And when it comes to like this, like, well, does that mean having two dogs is bad? No, it is if God says no. Having one dog is bad if God is saying to you, because, again, knowing who our Father, he's not trying to hurt you. Well, I had to clear my spirit. Do not get a second dog. Do not get a second dog. And I just kept blowing through the stop signs. Got the Buffalo News and started looking through the classifieds and found a litter of chocolate lab puppies that were going to be born. And I always wanted a chocolate lab, because she had a chocolate lab named Hershey, and I loved that dog. The dog was worthless. I mean, what I mean by worthless, it just laid around and ate, and that dog loved eating its own poop. I mean, I'm talking like the instant it pooped, it was like, I'm making my own dinner. Oh, there it is. And so the dog's breath always reeked, but I loved that dog. Dog's name was Hershey, fitting. It was so fitting for that dog. And I always wanted a chocolate lab, and we had a yellow lab. And the Spirit of God was strongly telling me no, no, no. I wanted it. I wanted it. Well, I didn't commit or consecrate to what he was saying to me. And I blew through the first stop sign of looking in the ads. And then I blew through the second stop sign, which was the worst thing I could do is tell her about it. Hey, found a litter of labs. Well, game over. That means we're going to look. And when you go to look, coming home with a lab. And so then I had do not tell her, told her. Do not call the people. Called the people. Do not go up there and see them. Went up there and see them. Do not commit to one when you're there. We'll take one. Took the chocolate lab home, Mossy. And this dog was nuts. This dog was part beaver. All the molding on the nice molding on the windowsill when we were gone and the molding along, even if we'd leave the room, along the walls, all chewed up. Why? We bought a beaver. And beavers like to eat wood. And then we found out the dog had something that I didn't know dogs could have, separation anxiety. And we were told, you don't know, put the dog in the pen and give it a nice bed. They certainly won't mess on their bed. They're dead animals. You know, all the things they say. Oh, no. Mossy had a party with her mess in her pen and get it all over. And it was every single day we'd leave. She'd cry and scratch and cry. And we were gone a lot. And we wanted to be able to leave her out with Wrigley. And it just was a nightmare. Our house got chewed up. Thankfully, sought God, what do we do? And the Lord, through her work, found a person that was a stay-at-home mom, lived on a farm, and Mossy went and lived and they never had an issue. It was such a blessing because I loved the dog, but our peace was robbed there. But the point was, blew through it, and there was fallout. It was a nightmare for a while. And then the sadness of having to get rid of the dog, I never wanted to ever have to do that, but peace was gone, and that dog was not having peace. We weren't having peace, and so thank God. God's even merciful in our misses. But I didn't. Even though that's a silly word, not found the Holy Ghost, but not found the Holy Ghost is simply just not consecrating to what the Holy Ghost is saying. Right. Yeah. And there's fallout with that. Number three, we'll close with this. What are we trying to do? Help you to consecrate and pray that prayer. Now I'm going to say this. There's things that people will just ignore. Get words from heaven. Get dealt with on. And just ignore them because the walking of that out is scary to you. The actual carrying that out of whatever he has, you can't fathom in your head how it's going to work out. I'm dealing with a precious, precious person that knows what they need to do. They don't go to this church. Knows what they need to do. But naturally, it's going to stir the pot. Naturally, it's going to agitate some things in their life. But God's talking to them about this thing. And the carrying that out or the walking that out is so big and so scary, and there's so many unknowns. Listen, when God told Abraham to get up and leave, he didn't even give him a destination. He just said go, and the Bible said Abraham went and just started going until he got a direction. Can you think of what his mind would have been saying? But what about my family? Because he had to leave his family and go. And what about what's up there? I've never been there. I don't know. I'm not familiar. He just went. Why? He knew a revelation that the blessing is found in that consecration. That's what I want to talk to you on this last point, is that the blessings for consecrating and committing are something you can't live without. There's power and promotion and blessing in surrender. Amen? Yeah, and I'll even say that even further. You'll never experience the peace of God. See, you think it's going to get worse. No, no, no. You'll never experience the peace of God until you surrender what he's telling you that you should do in your heart. And this is going to help you. Why? Because there's a life, a blessing, an opportunity waiting for you that's being held out. Think about Jesus. Go to Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going a little bit well, it's about normal on a Sunday morning here, but Philippians 2. For time's sake, we'll go to verse 8, talking about Jesus. We already know we already saw it demonstrated in the garden, the hardness or the difficulty of that following that plan out. I mean, he asked the Father not, we didn't even go further. He was so stressed, he sweat drops of blood. So worked up about what was to come from this surrender, and so in agony, the Bible says. He was in agony, he prayed. The Savior. So we know the difficulty of what he went through. But he did go through it, didn't he? And look what happened. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus became willing and obedient. Well, we know what happens. Eat the good of the land. Wherefore, God, here we go. I don't know about you, and I don't know if there's no other name or a word that can fall from my lips that carries such weight than when I say Jesus. There's so much wrapped up in that word. That's why if you're going through hell on earth and you are just even struggling to open your mouth, just start saying the name. Just start saying the name. The name is laced with anointing. Amen? Well, look at what it says here. God, wherefore, or because Jesus consecrated, committed, walked this out, did Jesus end up in a lesser place or a better place because of this? He ended up in a place that no one will ever touch. An exaltation that is so up there. Wherefore, because he did this, God has highly exalted him and gave him the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow. Even the ones that don't think they're going to bow, they are going to bow to that name. That's how exalted he is. Of things in heaven are going to be bowing, and the things on the earth are going to be bowing to the name that the only got to that place because of the prayer, consecration, commitment, and the walking that out. In verse 11, and every tongue will confess Jesus is Lord. My God, what a name, what an exaltation. To the glory of God the Father. So we see the blessings for it. Amen. Now go with me to Luke 9 and verse 23. I know the fear that's there. I'll even bring it back to the things of the Word. I know the fear that's holding you back from that 10%. I know it. Of actually surrendering to be faithful, to serve in church, to talk to the person God's been putting on your heart, to forgive who God's been dealing with you, to forgive, to walk in love who God's been... I know the fear to something maybe even on a grander scale. God's telling you to do something, to walk something out, to... And there's that fear there, that worry, that oppression on your flesh. But you have to understand something. There's power in surrender. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if any man comes after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Well, what's the cross? The plan. The cross is the plan. Let me tell you something. Go to Rhema was like a cross for me. Go to MTC was like a cross for you. What is that? A weighty thing. That's a crucifying of your flesh and your mind. Preaching, it could be a cross. Serving can be a cross. Tithing is a cross. What is the cross? The cross is God's plan. God's purpose is for you. Taking up your cross. Taking up his plan. And following him. It's weighty. It's heavy. It's hard. Going to Rhema, yes, I got direction and that was such a peace. But then when I started to get into the logistics of actually going to Rhema, that thing got heavier and heavier. Finances, leaving comfortable things, leaving relationships, leaving family, going into an unknown land. It was a cross for me. But he says, if any man will come after me, if any man's going to come after me and follow me, they got to deny themselves. What's that mean? I don't care what I want. I'm a dead man. I'm Bernie. Take me where you want. Tell me what to do. He says, and follow me. And then here's what you have to understand, verse 24. This is what the world doesn't get. This is what the devil tries to lie to you. But thank God, the word disarms the deceptions of the devil. For whoever will save his life, they're the ones that are going to lose it. What's that mean? I'm promoting my way. I'm promoting my thoughts, my agenda, my plan, what I want to do, stuck in my ways or the highway, right? He says those are the people that actually lose out. Why? Because those are the people that are the sinners. Those are the people that are the outside looking in and not experiencing God's fullness of his plan. Hallelujah. But whoever will lose his life for my sake, what is his sake? The plan is his sake. See, if we're going to get down to practically looking at this, his sake, it's not just, because let's be honest, we have a culture that can just get born again without costing anything. What do I mean? God is so merciful, you know, you can get saved. God is, can say, now listen, I'm not saying there's not, and we have to address this now that we open this up. Can a Christian lose his salvation? Yeah, but it's very difficult, and why would you ever want to? You know what I'm saying? It's a process, and maybe that'd be a good Wednesday night thing to talk about, so don't worry if you've missed it and missed it for years. You didn't lose your salvation. God didn't take it away. He said, I'll never leave you. He said, I will never leave you. Now, you're in church. You're loving him. You came back. You repented. You didn't leave him either. Amen? So don't take that thought. It's a lie of the devil. Praise God. But what I'm saying is we've learned the word is conditional. There's a man side and a God side. And man side is what? We have to do what he says. I remember Pastor Nancy preaching one time, just as bold as can be, said, people say being a Christian ain't about works. Once you get saved, it's all about your works and what you do. Not works to get liked by God, loved by God, accepted by God. That's done when you're saved, and that was free. But if the Bible says the windows of heaven open after I tithe, I guess I got to tithe. If the Bible says my seed will be multiplied after I sow it, I guess I got to sow it. If the Bible says that my faith works after I walk in love, then I guess I have to walk in love. If the Bible says that I put a firm foundation when I do the word, then I guess I got to do the word. Right? Amen. And so when he says, lose it for my sake, his sake is when you become a child of God and the word is presented to you, you lose your way of doing things, your wants, your desires, and you do his word. When he speaks something on your heart that you don't want to do, if you think I wanted to be a preacher and wanted to go to Rhema and some of the things, you're wrong. I didn't want to preach. I don't want to stand in front of people. I was the kid in high school that was sweating bullets on presentation day and having to get up and I stumbled through my words and was nervous and it was terrible with it. I didn't want to do that. You think when I was approached years ago about having to lead worship, I don't even enjoy playing guitar. I don't even like it. I used to, but that was just when I was drunk and didn't know any better. And then I liked it because in my mind it sounded good. Now I'm sober. I'm like, what am I doing? Change your mind, would you? I didn't want to do that. Why do I have to get over myself? Why? Because the plan called for it. My mom told me one day there was a woman that randomly, before my mom even knew anything about me being a preacher, randomly pulled her aside and said, there's something about your son with speaking and music. Don't know what it is, but there's something in the future with speaking and music. And it would have seemed like that's no way, but God, she was picking up something. Amen. Amen. And God had me leading music, just testing my heart to do it, you know, and don't want to do it. And you know, I've had plenty of people come through these doors. You know why we don't have a different worship leader right now? You want to know why? Well, we had tons of people in 11 years that have been better than me at singing. I mean, all you got to do is wake up. Open your mouth. You're better than me at singing. Or they can play better on the instruments than me. There is way better people. But you know what? They come here with the idea to get up here. They won't be faithful to sit there. They won't be able to serve. Won't be faithful to serve over there, serve out in the parking lot, or serve in the sound, or right? They won't be faithful to do that. They just want to get up here. And they're not willing and obedient, so they don't eat the good land. Or they don't live right, right? But I'm here to tell you those days are changing. We're going to have people with the right hearts and that will, you know, not just have a purpose to be seen, but have a purpose to be a blessing. Amen? But what is his sake? His sake is whatever he says to do. And look what he says here. Whoever will lose his life for my sake, the same will save it. That word save, what's that word save? Sozo, complete salvation. Healing's included in it. Prosperity's included in it. Peace is included in it. Favor's included in it. Protection's included in it. It's all included. When what? Surrender. This is not a weak pose. This is a power stance. I surrender to you, Father. I give you, praise God. And we'll close with this verse, Matthew 6, 33. Is this helping you? I think we're all probably going to have a one-on-one with God, you know, and a repentance session. And you know what's cool about God is just because you submit to it, doesn't mean he's going to make you do it. You know, God's not trying to make your life miserable. I still have not gone to China or Africa yet. Thank God. I don't even want to hunt there. People say, you want to go on an African safari? Nope. I don't. God says to go there, then maybe see if we can work on a hunting trip while I'm there. But I'm not trying to sign up to go kill a zebra or a lion, don't care, or a giraffe, an elephant. I don't want to. I want to go over there. I like it here. Matthew 6, 33, look at this. Now remember, you got to renew your mind to this, because what does our mind say? If I start tithing, it's going to get worse. No, you're going to get added to. Look at, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And look at, all these things shall be added unto you. A seeking things of God and surrendering to things of God is a life of addition, not subtraction. But the devil will tell you it's subtraction and keep you out. If I do that, I'm going to lose out. If I surrender to church and change up my life and my schedule, and, you know, if I don't let my kids serve, do every, all these extra things that keeps me out of church, they're gonna miss out on life. No. Anytime you put God first, it's a life of addition. We've gotten so hoodwinked by the enemy. No, I'm telling you, those things in the Word, those things in your heart, God is saying, I have something for you. I'm so thankful I went to Rhema. It opened this whole faith journey for me. The blessings, the miracles I started to see, and things started happening, healings and financial things and favor and doors opening, all because of a prayer of consecration and commitment. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, heart stuff tonight. Your pastor loves you so much. And he just wants to get you into higher and better. And if we renew our mind to these things, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. Praise God. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Father, we can say we're better for being here. You put this on my heart. There must be a reason. I know even as I ministered it, Father, there's things you've talked to me about, have emphasized in my own life. And so, Father, I'll talk with you later. Hallelujah. Just like so many other of us will. But Father, we just want you to know right now we love you. We don't want to kick against your plan. We don't want to kick against your ways. You've been too good to us, Father, and it's a win-win. Number one, we obey you and stay in the plan, but the other part of that win is we get increased. So thank you, Father. Thank you for not just including salvation, but for caring about our life down here on this earth. But Father, it's conditional. And I just pray, Father, for every single person that's represented here, that their heart would be so stirred to repent, that their heart would be so stirred to surrender and submit to you, Father, that tonight would be a new direction for them. And Father, we'll give you the praise for it, give you the glory for it. Now, I know you can keep your heads bowed and eyes closed. I know that as I look around the room, I'm in a room full of believers. But if you're watching online, you tuned in tonight, and you say, I'm not a Christian, I'm not saved. Well, the good news is, it's not going to church that gets you saved or staying out of church that keeps you from being saved. And say, well, I'm not a good person. It's not about being a good person or a bad person. It's what you do with Jesus. See, the Bible says that if you receive him, you'll have everlasting life, John 3:16. And so all you have to first check is, do I believe in him? And I don't mean with your head or your flesh. I'm telling you in your heart. Something in your heart says, you know what, I know he's real. If that's you, you're qualified for salvation. And the Bible says if you call on his name, you'll be saved. And so I encourage you when the service is over, if you're not a Christian, not born again, I've never received Jesus. Again, it's a free gift. We're not asking to come to this church or be a member. That's not what it's about. It's about receiving the Lord. Just cry out to him and say, Jesus, I believe in you. I want to go to heaven. I want to become God's child. And I believe you died and rose again. Come into my heart. If you'll pray that and mean it, he'll save you. And if you're watching, you say, I'm confused by all this. And I have questions. Well, my number's on the website, the email's on the website. Please reach out. It's a free gift. It's simple. That was the day things began to change for me, and then I started doing things my own way, or still kept doing things my own way. Then the prayer of consecration and commitment opened the door, but everything started at the day of salvation when I got born again and became part of the family. That's when the opportunities were presented to me. So if you're confused about all that, please get a hold of me. We'll walk you through this. It's simple. We'll just look at the Bible, and I'll help you receive this gift. Hallelujah. Can we just stand to our feet and worship Him? Let's just love on Him tonight. Not just token worship, but to get done with service. Heartfelt worship from your heart to Him. Just loving Him and thanking Him. And you know what? That's on my heart. Let's thank Him for salvation, because if that's all there was, that would be pretty darn good. I stand before You redeemed because of You, Father. I stand before You saved because of You, Father. Born again because of You. And Your love, it was Your idea, it was Your plan. You could have limited it. You were God. You could have done whatever You wanted to do, but You loved. You're a God of love, and so You acted out of love and gave us a free choice and gave Jesus a free choice, but yet here we can receive Him, and so thankful for those choices, Father. Thank You that I'm born again tonight. Heaven is my destination. Praise You, Father. Praise You, Father. We glorify You. Love You so much. We're so grateful for You. We're so grateful for You. You're amazing. You're so good to us. Father, we don't tell You enough. I know for my own life I don't tell You enough. I'm not as grateful as I should be, and I want You to know I'm grateful. My heart's full of gratitude for You and all You've done. I love You tonight. Praise You and magnify You. Bless each and every person, Father, here that came out tonight, that makes that commitment. Help them to get over that hump, to get over that thing that's holding them back. Father, there's so many good things. I know You're dealing with people's hearts tonight. We thank You the blessings found in the obedience and the surrender. We give You the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming tonight, for being hungry. It's so easy to preach to you. Love you. Appreciate you. We'll see you Sunday morning. You are dismissed.